now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Look, it's pretty simple. One team's hitting shots like that, and you are not. It is going to be a tough night no matter who you're playing in this league.
Bucks Talk starts now.
Second chance points have plagued the Bucks all season, really.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
1-2 start on the season now for the Bucks. And Evan, that cut that you played when we started of it's very simple when a team hits shots like this and you don't, you're gonna find yourself in trouble. That's true. But I mean, this was not Chicago on Friday night. This wasn't what the Bulls did where they were shooting the lights out. 21 made threes. 16 is still more than what the Bucks made. And when you're down, quick math here, minus 18 points beyond the arc, 16 threes for the Nets tonight, 10 for the Bucks. Not great, but, you know, 16 is not 21. 16 is not where we've seen this league evolve in terms of three-point shooting. So this wasn't as simple as, Nets were just hot. They shot a lot of threes. But there's a part of that rings true from Friday. That was not the case tonight. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Not the start we envisioned at 1-2, and we cautioned after Wednesday. It's one game. I mean, it felt good. You loved what you saw. A lot of the issues that we saw, the bugaboos and everything that was problematic for this team a year ago, it was cleaned up. And I thought, okay, it just took time. You needed the chemistry. You needed an offseason with Doc Rivers, a training camp with Doc, developing that chemistry, especially between Giannis and Dame, figuring each other out, yada, yada, yada. Like, there's going to be some down periods, but I think by and large, this is closer to the team that we're going to see. And then the next two games happen. It's important because of this. And look, I'm not ready to write this team off and say the sky is falling and boy, this team's in trouble. There are certainly some alarming things that we've noticed the last two games. I still expect them to win tomorrow night. There's going to be stretches like this throughout the season. I think what makes it challenging to remain patient is last season. And, you know, Doc Rivers has said this. Greg Buckner, who talked with Dave before the game tonight, he's mentioned this a couple of times too. It's not like we worked on something so it's perfect and we don't ever have to go back to it. Like, there's going to be moments throughout this season where you say, what's going on with the defense? Why did it look like this? Why did this team hit 22 threes? Why did the Brooklyn Nets beat you? You're going to have those pockets pop up on the schedule. And unfortunately, the Bucks have put themselves in a spot where I think you're going to have more people, including Bucks fans, that see that and are going to write them off. Because while you want to remain patient and say, look, it's part of the process, it's going to take some time to get it there. If we're being honest, at some point last year is going to creep into your head and you're going to say, well, is this just more what we saw last year? 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. I don't have any wholesale takeaways from tonight. I'm sure that's the opposite for my co-host, Brandon. I turn the floor to you. Have at it.
Well, I'll tell you this, Justin. Thank goodness the Packers won today, or else this could have been a very, very rough Sunday afternoon. I'll tell you this. You mentioned it in the network postgame. This was one of the tougher schedules for the NBA, for any NBA team, for the first 10 games of the season. You kind of looked at this schedule, Justin, and you thought, well, Philly, it depends on, you know, who plays. At the time, we didn't know Embiid and Paul George would both be out. You get a good win there. You look good. Things kind of felt good. For the most part of that game, they took really control of that game late in the second quarter and dominated throughout. And then you get home and you have Chicago. You and I talked about it. Is it a rivalry? Is it not a rivalry? And then Coby White just shoots the lights out and fans are exiting the doors with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And then, of course, Coby White goes cold the day after. they play the Bucks, but that's beyond the point. And then you kind of look at Brooklyn, and you talked about it Friday night. Like, if you go in there and you kind of struggle a little bit, that's going to raise some eyebrows. The biggest thing for me here was just the word of the game for me, Justin, uninspiring. Just absolutely uninspiring. There was no energy. There was no flow. There was not one single player outside of Bobby Portis who would be my player of the game for the Bucks, and I don't even know what his final stat line looked like. It didn't really matter because when I'm just watching the game and not writing down notes, he's the only one that really popped off to me to really kind of felt like he was doing something outside of the last 3 minutes. You know, Andre Jackson Jr. might have been the player of the game in that last 2 or 3 minutes that he played. Just uninspiring, sloppy basketball. I mean, 9 turnovers in the first 18 minutes. 9 turnovers in the first 18 minutes. 9 points in that first quarter, Justin, off of second chance opportunities for the Brooklyn Nets. Those are things to me that just reek effort. Not necessarily talent. This team is talented. In my opinion, they're better than they were a year ago. I think Gary Trent Jr. and Taurean Prince are clear upgrades for this Milwaukee Bucks basketball team. It comes down to just wanting to be better, wanting to actually put your foot and go and dominate and not settle for these terrible looking shots. I mean, Brook Lopez just doesn't. He started the game off great. I thought I think he scored the first 2 baskets. Right around the dunker spot, at least within the paint. It just felt like, I mean, there's times where Giannis comes down with the ball and there's 5 seconds off the shot clock and he has a fadeaway from the elbow and it bounces. It just, there's no flow. There's just no flow. There's no energy. Yes, I'm third show I'm doing with you, and everybody's probably like, this dude is nothing but a negative Nancy. But holy cow, man, this is some uninspiring basketball. It's sloppy. It's uninspiring. Who's in charge? I'm not talking about Doc. I'm talking about whose team is this? Is this Giannis' team? Is this Dame's team? I don't know. I'm frustrated. And I know it's only game 3, and you're going to tell me I should calm down and be – and you're right, because most of the time you will be. And I'm going to be a bit dramatic at times. But you and I talked about this in the season preview show. There's a lot of pressure on this team. You mentioned it. You said even if the Bucks win the title, this team's going to look different. Every loss is going to be highlighted before a win because they should be expected to be the better team on most nights. They have the best player in the NBA. They have another top 75 player of all time. They have a championship-level coach. They have excellent role pieces. You should not go into Brooklyn, and it's not even on a back-to-back. It's the first leg of a back-to-back. And have your subs in, the end of your bench in, with 3:26 in the fourth quarter. It's inexcusable, and it was an uninspiring performance from this Milwaukee Bucks team.
Well, I mean, I would, devil's advocate, I would say you should expect to have your subs in the final few minutes against the Brooklyn Nets in the fourth quarter. But
you're right. You're right.
For the opposite reason.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, look, I'm sure people are sick of hearing it from me. It's early. It's 1 out of 82. Well, it's 2 out of 82 with the Bulls now. It's going to take time. You're going to have to be patient with this group. Even though we preached that last year, it wasn't like you have to almost view this as the mid to early part of the season yet in year one with Doc Rivers, because of coming in, changing that. They changed some things defensively. They changed some things offensively. The pieces that we mentioned are gone and those that have been replaced. It's not the lift that it was a season ago when you brought in Damian Lillard and had to figure out how do these two pair together. But there's still change that it's going to take time. It's not as simple as, here we go. This group has played together for X amount of years. I know Brooke and Bobby and Giannis and Pat have. Chris, too. We haven't seen him yet. But it's going to take time, and we're going to have to be patient with this. There's going to be nights like this. There's going to be nights like, I think, tomorrow when you beat the Boston Celtics. But I recognize people are sick of hearing that. And the age of this group, the way things went last year, there's not a whole lot of people that are willing to be patient and are willing to say, okay, I'll hear you out. Let's see how this goes. And that's the spot they've put themselves in. So I get that. Mm-hmm. I'm just not quite to the level that everybody else is yet, or I would assume everybody else is yet.
Well, I'm not at that. I'm not necessarily at the point where the season, I'm not saying the season's going to be over, but it's just the part of me is that we know, well, in deep down, in our, this is going to be one of the, this is the last stretch for this core.
For this exact group. I do. Yeah. So one question I want to ask you, we'll get to it after the break. And I'm curious what the other fans out there think of this as well. It pertains to tomorrow night's game. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. It's a very difficult schedule. These were probably two games you said, like, look, the first 10 games, I think I was asked about it somewhere else, and I said 6-4. With the schedule that you got, we assumed Joel Embiid was going to play. We assumed Paul George was going to play at the time the schedule was made. You saw the Celtics on there. You see the Cavs on there a couple of times. The Memphis Grizzlies, everybody, me, myself included, have warned you, look, this team's going to be a lot better this year. They had the year from HE double hockey sticks a year ago with injuries and everything else. They're healthy this year. They added a new piece in Zach Edey. They're going to be good. The point is, those first 10 games are very difficult. That realistically, we should have expected 6-4, 5-5, somewhere around that range, especially given it's still a work in progress. Still got to be patient. But in the wins column, I think we all anticipated the Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets. Like, you got to hang your hat on those two because of the rest of the schedule. And that is, without a doubt, the most troubling part of these first three games. 855-616-1620. Number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. That question that I posed to Brandon, we'll get to it after this.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Bucks lose in Brooklyn to the Nets. They're 1-2 now to start the season and head to Boston tomorrow night, so it does not get any easier. Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide here with you on Bucks Talk. So, Brandon, what does it do? I guess let's start here. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your level of concern for this team three games in?
10 being the worst, I'm assuming, like not good at all, or probably right now a 6, Justin. And I know I sound a lot more dramatic, but I think this is the frustrating part for me, Justin, is that I know they're better than this. Like, I know this team is better than this. I mean, they shot the ball relatively well today, almost 45% from the field. I mean, they didn't shoot the three ball great at all, but either did Brooklyn, you know. Right, Brooklyn was at 35, Bucks at 30. Free throws kind of close. I just know that they're a better team. And that's the frustrating part about all this. And most times when you have the better team, it just comes down between you either making shots like we saw with the Bulls on Friday night, or it's just kind of effort. Nobody on Brooklyn really stood out today outside of, I know Cam Thomas was an automatic buck killer. But I'm at a 6, and I'm not necessarily, you know, throwing out the warning signs that this is it, but I'm just frustrated because I know this team is better than what we have seen.
All right, so what if they win by double digits tomorrow?
You know, it's crazy because when you made that comment before break about, you know, you think they're going to win. It would be the most Milwaukee Bucks thing to do, for them to do, because 2-2 last year with the split at Boston. I believe both those losses were at Boston, and don't quote me, but I think it was like a combined 5 or 7.
I think it was 6 points. I mean, one was, I don't remember if it was one or both, but the first one especially, they were getting blown out, and then you blinked, and Damian Lillard went off in the fourth quarter, and they all of a sudden had a chance to win it.
I mean, this just might be one of those teams, Justin, for this year that just kind of,
I don't want to say looks past their opponent because...
Well, that's what Doc Rivers was, I wouldn't say afraid, but he did dip his toe in those waters after the Bulls game, too, and said it was kind of maybe not a concern, but it was certainly on our mind of this isn't the season opener. I mean, it's your home opener, but this isn't the season opener in Philly, even without Paul George and Embiid. This isn't looking at the front of the jersey. Like, there is a little bit of, all right, let's make sure we're ready for this one.
Yeah, and I obviously you don't want to look past any opponent, but the fear for me is that you kind of get lost in the mud in this Eastern Conference and you're chasing, you know, some tough teams, you know, already. Yeah, we're not even through October, so I'm not throwing the red flag out now, but you know, you struggle out of the gate because you mentioned that the first 10 games are brutal. I mean, you lose to Boston tomorrow. I mean, you're starting the season 1-3, and you could make the case that that one game that they won, although it's a win, and rightfully so, is a good win. I mean, without Joel Embiid and without Paul George, people are going to look at it and be like, eh, you haven't really beat anybody to start this season yet in the first full week of the NBA season. Do I think they can beat Boston? Yeah. I think this Bucks team can beat anybody. And I think part of it is that they're beating themselves because they are too good. They're too talented.
Last year, that was certainly the case. You mentioned, you brought up those two losses in Boston. They beat Boston, and the Celtics will point out, our third game in 5 days, and night two of a back-to-back. And
yeah.
Fine. It was the same scenario the Bucks had the year prior, where they got their doors blown off by the Celtics. But they displayed that last year, but unfortunately they also showed they can be beat by anyone as well. They can beat anyone, and they can lose to anyone. The hope was, okay, there's still the same group that we think can beat anyone, but the Wizards, the Nets, the teams that when the end of the year comes, we know are going to be in the bottom five, like that group, those are the losses you have to avoid. And that's what, again, one game, but that's to me what had me most optimistic after Wednesday night was there were no stretches throughout that game where you felt like the Bucks were just kind of playing around. They kept the killer instinct. They put their foot down on the neck of the 76ers. Point out they were without, you know, two of their three best players. Fine, that's fair. But the Bucks never let them get back in it. If anything, they kept their foot on the gas and put it out of reach. We never saw that from this group last year. So that was part of, hey, I do think we're going to get there. And then you fast forward 48 hours later and see, oh, Bulls hit a lot of threes. Okay, it wasn't just the three-point shooting. There was a lot of issues that we saw on the perimeter with the Bulls getting into the paint and kicking out shots. Tonight was where you expected. You know, I know we mentioned it before the game Friday of got to see that consistency, right? We saw stretches last year where you'd look good, then you'd follow it up looking bad. So I want to see not only a win, but look good in the win, and you didn't get it. So then we applied it to tonight. And tonight looked even worse than Chicago, even if the Bulls shot better and there are more areas of concern and things that you said, wait a minute, this definitely has to be cleaned up. Tonight, if for no other reason than the opponent, was worse than Chicago.
Yeah, I agree there. I mean, I go back to them kind of just stepping on their own toe. I mean, there was a point tonight in the third quarter, I forget which part of the third quarter, I want to say it was midway through the third quarter, I mean, they went 3 minutes without a turnover, which felt like forever, and they had the lead. They took the lead. I mean, they went up, you know, not by a ton, but they took the lead after, I mean, the Nets shot 6 of 12 from the third quarter from three, and they had the lead at one point without turning the ball over. And that's, to me, watching them is the frustrating point of all of this, is because when they play the game that I think they're capable of playing, they absolutely can beat Boston. They've done it. And I'll go one step further, Justin. I still think this is a better team than it was a year ago. Not that the team a year ago was...
Well, I think they are. Yeah, they are. But the Sixers, when healthy, the Sixers are a better team than they were a year ago.
Sure.
The Pacers think they're a better team than they were a year ago because just everything that we applied to the Bucks with... You know, year number two with Doc and year number two with Dame, like, same applies to the Pacers with Pascal Siakam. and getting back a player like Benedict Mathurin as well, and more time for some of those young guys that really excelled in the postseason. The Cavs think they're a better team. They basically stayed the same. They made a coaching change that is going to upgrade their offense, and Cleveland has been, if not the best, I know it's a small sample size, one of the best second-half teams so far this season. So up and down the Eastern Conference, the Celtics didn't get worse, right? I mean, they're without Kristaps Porzingis, but they didn't miss anybody. They didn't lose anybody to free agency. So the Bucks, I do believe, are better, but so are a lot of teams in this conference.
Well, and that's the frustrating part, is because you're dropping games where, if you looked at it, I believe I was walking into Pfizer Forum in that home opener on Friday night, and I was talking to a teammate of ours, and I said, man, you know, we were looking ahead to the schedule. Obviously, the Bulls game hadn't started yet, and we took a peek at the schedule, and I go, the Bucks have a real good chance to be 3-0 going into Boston. I mean, that's going to be a game where you kind of circle. It's early. It's still October, but nonetheless, it's a big game. Obviously, Boston's going to be undefeated, but it felt like the Bucks, and I don't want to sound dramatic here, and I know this is going to sound dramatic, but I don't want to. It just feels like they let an opportunity kind of slip to get a few good wins and kind of mesh a little bit early before that big test in Boston. Because I don't know, and you would know better than I would. You're around the team much more than I am. You're seeing them in a different angle. I just don't feel any flow with this team. It just doesn't feel like there's anything positive offensively to look at. It just doesn't. I mean, Giannis had 22 points tonight, Justin. Nick Claxton is not that good. I'm sorry. Like, I'm taking Giannis 10 out of 10 times. He plays him well, but I mean, I just Ben Simmons. I 2 points tonight from him, and I know he's a tough, you know, tougher defender than your typical guy.
Not on Giannis.
Well, and that's the thing. That's what drives me nuts. It's like 22 points. Nothing felt smooth. Nothing. It feels forced. It feels like everything is either a bailout shot, a foul, you know, late into the shot clock, or Dame's got to, you know, play hero ball and nail a 35 contested shot. But nothing is coming easy. And when you got Giannis and Dame, Justin, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm crazy. I feel like you should have easier baskets than what we're seeing.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I imagine we're going to hear some strong words from Dick in Port Washington. We'll hear from Dick when we return.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
One and two start on the young season for the Bucks as they fall to the Brooklyn Nets tonight. And now, again, fourth toughest schedule through the first 10 games of the season. And one of those is tomorrow night in Boston against the Celtics. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Dick in Port Washington. Dick, before you get to any of your points, what about you on a scale of 1 to 10? How concerned are you so far?
6.5 to 7.
Do you remember what your highest
prediction?
Do you remember what your highest would have been a year ago?
Well, I was at that point, I was defending our coach, and we were scoring a lot of points, and defense wasn't there. And things didn't look right, but we were winning and we were scoring points. The biggest thing that's concerning to me right now is that I totally agree with both you guys that this team is, I personally think, considerably better than the group we had last year. And with that said, that also raises my concern with this team because we don't look any better than the team from last year. In fact, in a lot of ways, I think worse. I don't remember last year having two phantom passes from an out-of-bounds play that ended up in the seat without a Bucks anywhere near us. It's early. It's early, and I hope this isn't true, but I think there's two possible explanations at this point. We can't use this excuse anymore that Doc hasn't had these guys long enough, that stuff is going to, you know, take some time, that we were saying last year there's not enough practices, et cetera, et cetera. What concerns me here is that, with that said, I think there's two possible explanations of this. And I mentioned this the other night. And by the way, I'm sorry for calling in four times in a row. But I think one of the possibilities is that Dame and Giannis will never connect. And the other night I mentioned that, and I mentioned some guys in the past. There's little to no chemistry there. I think the second part of it is that what Doc is trying to do is falling on deaf ears. We easily, if those two guys would have started in Philly, we'd be old for the season. I'm a firm believer in that. And now we've got a defensive director or whatever they call him.
Coordinator.
Has that changed much? Coordinator, yeah.
I mean, it's three games, yeah, so. Dick.
Yeah, I know. But that's my point. I'd be seeing things different than last year and losing these games, I'd buy into that more. To me, this was looking at a tape of last year's game when the doctor was in charge of the team. It looks the same.
I think what you have seen different, and granted, it's not yielding the results you would hope for, and thanks for the call, Dick. It does look somewhat different defensively. It's going to take baby steps, but Brook Lopez has been positioned around the rim. You're not seeing Brook Lopez close out on corner three attempts, and the whole disaster that was Brook Lopez, the strategy to put him out there on the perimeter early in the season last year, like all of that is gone. And why I still remain optimistic, but you know, the longer this goes on, then look, I will concur. It is hopeful and not optimistic, but where I have that on the defensive end is Greg Buchner specifically, the defensive coordinator here, because of what he was able to do in Cleveland. And look, I understand it was a younger roster, but the Cavs did not have a lockdown defender on the perimeter. Now, do they have better perimeter defenders, or did those groupings of the Cavs the last few years have an overall better perimeter defense than the Bucks do right now? Probably, yeah. But they didn't have a shutdown guy. How they really got by was with their two twin towers, with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley taking away the paint and saying, we're gonna get rebounds, we're going to protect the rim, and we can kind of gum up some things on the perimeter. Like, no one in their right mind is going to tell you a defensive backcourt of Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell is top tier. And yet, the Cavs were able to be an elite defense last year. Now, guys like Max Strus, even Dean Wade, they're better perimeter defenders than you give them credit for, and that was a big piece of it. Isaac Okoro, a very gifted perimeter defender. But they had two negative defenders on the perimeter, and they were still able to get there. So that's where I remain very optimistic that this is going to get to where you need it to be defensively. Now, the one thing that has not been there and that absolutely is troubling and needs to turn around, I think is very obvious after tonight. We will discuss that coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
All right, 1-2 start on the season for the Bucks. Not the start we envisioned for this team, especially not after Wednesday night's performance against the Philadelphia 76ers. And look, there's going to be a lot of nights like this. It's an improved Eastern Conference. We mentioned a couple of times now, you get the sense this team is going to be pushed throughout the course of the regular season because of those teams behind them, not even behind them, because of those teams around them and in front of them, but especially the ones behind them that have gotten better in the offseason. And you have a very, very difficult start to things. The split of road games that you had right out of the gate here four of your first five on the road. When you do finally return home, it's the Cleveland Cavaliers on Saturday.
Oh, enjoy.
Who, as of this moment, have yet to lose. But that's where I'm at, is this team is not going to get to where they need to be, regardless of how good the Giannis and Dame pairing looks, if the defense isn't at least flirting with a top 10 defense. Like somewhere around 10 would be great, but 12, 13, like somewhere around there. That's where you need to finish. That's what's going to take the most time because of some of the things. And it took time in Cleveland, too, when I just referenced what Greg Buckner did with that group. But rebounding is what has me most elevated right now. Not yet concerned, but coming out of the preseason, it was, all right, they're not looking good on the glass, but how much of this is the preseason? You know, you're seeing the starters for a half. Giannis didn't play in one of those games. They're not really showing much. Like, I don't know how much of it is that I'm going to wait until we get into the regular season. Three games is still not enough of a sample size, but they've not been good. Rebounded the basketball through the first three games so far, and that has to change because of what I just said, that the model seems to be what was done in Cleveland, and part of that component is rebounding the basketball. Especially on the defensive glass. This team is, they're not going to be an offensive rebounding force because of their age. And I think Doc Rivers has all but said, let's just get back. We don't need guys. And I know he was very critical about the performance Friday against the Bulls, where he pointed out there's several times we saw guys crashing the offensive boards from behind the free throw line, from behind the three-point line. Like, that's an ultimate no-go. You're putting yourself in a bad spot, and you're allowing them to play in front of you. And if I've learned one thing in my, 25 years of coaching, near 50 years being involved with the league, you're not going to play well when you're defending from behind. So you got to be in front of them. And that wasn't the case Friday. I obviously didn't rewatch the game. I don't know how much of that was the case tonight, but they've just not been good enough rebounding the basketball. And that was a huge problem tonight. When you think about second chance points, points off of turnovers, like those two areas and 3-point difference, that's what sunk them tonight. But rebounding and turnovers have been a constant so far through these three games.
And I don't understand that part, what you just said, Justin. I don't understand how that is.
I mean, do you need me to call Torian Prince so he can explain how you rebound?
I mean, shout out. Yeah, I was at Oregon. Wasn't when he the tournament. But yeah, I don't get that though. I mean, I'm very frustrated by that. I mean, the length is there. Is it more of an effort? Is it scheme? I mean, what is it? Because you got Brook Lopez, Giannis. I mean, then you take your cast of characters on the perimeter depending on who you have out there. Bobby, who cleans up the glass relatively well. Brook Lopez has never really been a great rebounder, but Giannis certainly has been. And it seemed like tonight it just was more of an effort than I think anything. But I think defense and rebounding is effort.
I think we're getting lost in the schematics here, semantics here. Brook Lopez's teams are good rebounding teams when he's on the floor. Like, we can't just look at the number of rebounds per game that Brook gets. It's more nuanced than that. Like, his job is to create those rebounding opportunities for his teammates. Look at Giannis's numbers, especially with Brook on the floor. Like, Giannis exploding to 13, 14 rebounds per game, it's because of Brook Lopez doing what he does in creating those box out opportunities. So it's not that Brook Lopez is a bad rebounder, but I do think Friday night, some of it was bad luck, but I mean, that doesn't account for what we've seen through three games. It certainly doesn't account for tonight with the rebounding margin that it is. I mean, the Bucks have been a below 50% rebounding rate team in each of these three games this season. In other words, if I told you there's X amount of rebounds that were available, so you look at the missed shots, the Bucks got less than half of those. Not good. Like, if you're one of the better rebounding teams, You're usually around 53-55%. I believe the Bucks are at about 48% so far through three games. That was kind of the story last year, too. If you're a really good offensive rebounding team, you're in the low 30s in terms of your offensive rebounding rate. The Bucks have not sniffed that so far, and that's probably not the best one to look at because, again, what we said, it's an older team. I think the strategy is just get back. Get back on defense. Like, if you're around the rim, if Giannis or Brooke are there, fine. They can go for the offensive glass. Everybody else, get back in transition so we can start to slow that down. But the rest of it, you know, the defensive rebounding rate is where this team should be dominant when you think about the size.
It should, yeah.
Yeah, like tonight. They're bigger than Brooklyn, and we saw the way they started, going to Brooke Lopez immediately for the first two touches of the game. It's not just scoring. It's everything. Like, you need to use that size to your advantage, and they didn't, and they haven't. 70% defensive rebounding rate against Philly, 75% tonight. Like, the good teams that are around 80%. It just hasn't been anywhere good enough.
So can I ask you a question?
You know what? Let's step aside. When we come back, I'm very curious to hear what this question is. Brandon's question for me after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
One and two start to the season for the Bucks, who fall to the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Look, the good news is tomorrow in Boston, you're not facing a team that's going through their home opener. So it's the second time the Bucks had to deal with that tonight. Not going to be the case tomorrow, but oh, by the way, it is going to be the case you're going up against the defending NBA champions, in all likelihood, at least as of right now, the best team in the league, in the Boston Celtics. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Just a couple of minutes left on the show. I'm very curious, though, Brandon, the question that you have.
It's not a bad question. I just kind of wanted to touch base on something you were discussing a couple segments ago that I really found interesting. Because I think this is our third game, our fourth show. You have clearly been, in my opinion, the voice of reason. I'm a bit more dramatic than you, and that's okay. I think that works out well for us. However, you mentioned it's going to take time. And I'm curious from your point of view, Justin.
If you're asking me when...
Well, hold on, because we're going to get there. You got the Cavaliers twice in the next week. You got the New York Knicks. We don't really know what, you know, who they are. They're supposed to be good. You got the Celtics tomorrow. We got the Celtics again on November 10th.
Week, yeah.
You got the Grizzlies in there. Again, they're kind of unknown yet as well. I mean, at what point, and the two-part question, really, when is this... We don't have any more time. Like, it's up. Is it halfway through the season when Doc got here a year ago, or 43 games, whatever it was? And at what point in the schedule, when you're looking at the way that the Bucks are looking, is a record where you're like, you got to hit the red button because it's time to worry? I mean, is it a 2-10 start? Is it you're going to give Doc Rivers till Christmas? I mean, because at some point we got to have the rough conversation, the tough conversation that we're out of time and we have to start winning.
I mean, a 2-10 start is certainly suboptimal, and that would, I think,
not out of the realm of possibilities. But I mean, I don't think it's going to happen.
You can't rule it out, but I think it would be beyond the point of panic for everyone listening. I would certainly be concerned if it's a 2-10 start. In terms of, like, when is it go time? When is it, man, that there's just not enough runway left for this team? I mean, I still ultimately answer that question with whenever they're eliminated from the playoffs, just because a team with Giannis and Damian Lillard, and we've seen three straight postseasons where they weren't healthy, and that was maybe not the only reason. Like, I'm not going to bury my head in the sand and say there weren't flaws to last year's team. But, you know, if we take a step back, and I know we just said the Eastern Conference is better, and individually each of these teams that improved feel like we're the team that's going to push the Boston Celtics. But I think what gives you that is, if we're being honest, if that team was healthy last year for that first round series with the Indiana Pacers, I mean this as no disrespect to Indiana, they win the series. If they're healthy, I think they beat the New York Knicks. If they are a healthy team, we're getting the Bucks and the Celtics in the conference finals. Now, would anybody pick the Bucks to win that series? No. But if you got a healthy Giannis and Damian Lillard and a flamethrower Chris Middleton who has made a career out of beating the Celtics or coming up big against them in the playoffs, you like your chances. So that's where I'm at with the, well, I'm not going to close the book on this team until like it is, the final chapter is actually written and they have been eliminated from the playoffs because of that. But I mean, you can't dig yourself in a hole. And this year is the inverse in some ways of last year, because, you know, last year they got to 30-13, and it's easy to poke fun and the LOL Doc Rivers memes, like, oh, you know, they had a losing record under Doc last year, and let's just completely ignore the change in schedule and everything else. Chris Middleton's injury. But this year it's different. Like, they had one of the easier schedules last year. For a while, it was the easiest schedule in the league. It's not the case. It's not the case for the first 6 weeks or so. And the last month is very challenging too. So that midpoint of the schedule, you can't put yourself in a big hole. Like, again, you have to expect some lumps. And we said at the top of the show, like, realistically, 5-5, 6-4, something like that. That's what you should be thinking. You're looking at with the schedule that they have. If it's 2-8, if it's 3-7, and then if you prolong that and start dropping some of these other games, the midpoint of your schedule and the winnable games are more important this year than ever before, because of the way your schedule starts, because of the way your schedule ends in the last month, in March especially, and because of the fact that everybody else, not everybody, but the good teams in the East, at the very least, are treading water. A lot of them got better. So you are going to be pushed. And if you drop those games, if you dig yourself too big of a hole, if you lose, not just tonight, but if you lose games to the Brooklyn Nets, to the Washington Wizards, you struggle with the Toronto Raptors, you're losing to the Portland Trail Blazers again, like things like that. If you do that, that's what opens the door to, are they going to be in the play-in tournament? So that's the difficult part.
Play-in tournament. When I first saw that, I kind of scoffed at it. I could see, I mean, yeah, pressure's there, and it's going to be every game. There hasn't been anything that this year to begin with, and I know we're early into the season, but to make me think otherwise with this team. You did great in game one in Philly. You did exactly what you should have done. You and I talked in lengths about that win. It was good to see. It doesn't even look like the same team, Justin, these last two games. I mean, the rotations are a little bit behind. Rebound, I mean, they didn't do great in rebounding in that opening game against Philly either with those second chance points, but they buckled down in that second half in game one and looked like a much different team. They've just looked completely out of it these last two games. And that's troubling and concerning. And like I said, my opening statement, Justin, uninspiring.
Tomorrow night, the Boston Celtics. It is, look, you're not going to erase the taste of these losses, the stench of these losses to the Bulls and the Nets, but you can go a long way in turning it around tomorrow night. So we'll preview that matchup and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
All right, a 1-2 start on the young season for the Bucks. A chance to turn it around is probably not the right verbiage, but a chance to feel pretty good. Even if 2-2 isn't what you hoped you'd have, if you're 2-2 tomorrow, like, first of all, 2-2 means you beat the Boston Celtics. I still, maybe I'm crazy, I still think they're going to win tomorrow. And
you'd be crazy.
I mean, if you're 2-2, I think a lot of people probably thought you'd be 2-2, but it would be the inverse of, all right, they're going to beat the crappy teams. They're going to beat the Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets, and they're going to lose to the Celtics and Sixers. I mean, is that a better scenario if you beat the good teams and lose to the bad? The big thing is
the Bucks.
Well, and
the Bucks' way to do it.
The big thing is you can't have like a 1-8 start, something like that. And I don't think they're going to lose 8 straight games. But again, when we go over the schedule, Boston tomorrow, Memphis on Thursday night, the Cavs coming to town Saturday night. And the Cavs, as of this moment, have yet to lose. They've been extremely, extremely efficient in a very good second half team. You got another game with the Cavaliers on the road 1 week from tomorrow. The Jazz, who, remember how much the Jazz embarrassed you last year? And the Jazz, just like the Nets, are one of those teams we think we're going to be down. Look what happened last year. Look what happened tonight. Then you got the Brooklyn Nets. You got the New York Knicks early in November, and then another matchup with the Celtics. So one by one, it's very difficult. And that's your lead up to the NBA Cup schedule beginning, and then you have a couple of games with the Nets and the Pistons, and it does start to slow down a bit. A rematch potentially with the Bulls. You get to that Pacers matchup. You get the Heat, who don't look great, if we're being honest, and the Wizards to close out a month. The good thing is you have a lot of those teams on the schedule. Now, granted, if you watch the last two games, you would say, doesn't matter. They can't beat them. But you do have a lot of those types of teams on your schedule in November. And perhaps more importantly, you don't have as much travel. It is a very home-heavy slate of games in November. And that's how tomorrow can be a launching point. Like, you win tomorrow, you clean up some of those areas. Number one is rebounding. That has to change. You cannot give up 14 or so corner threes to the Boston Celtics attempts tomorrow. That's another problematic issue, and you have to protect the basketball. Easier said than done against the Celtics. But you clean those things up, you get a win tomorrow, you feel much better. I'm not going to suggest you forget these two games, but you say, hey, I mean, 2-2 is what we probably bargained for anyway through these first four games. And now if we can start to build something here, get into November in a better spot, and use the mid part of the month where the schedule is in your favor, both with the opponent win percentage and the home games, this is something that we can build on and start to bank some wins, build some confidence, and turn some things around as we move into that mid part of the schedule.
Now you're feeling better than I am about it.
Any final thoughts from this one tonight?
No, not from this one. Come ready tomorrow, Justin, because a 1-3 start, and like you mentioned before, going into Cleveland a few times, then Boston again. I mean, this really could unravel and get kind of ugly, and I don't want to say tomorrow's a must win. It's going to be a statement game for Boston, I think, and we saw what they did against the New York Knicks in game one. I understand that it was ring night, but that's another team that, like the Bucks, has championship aspirations, and they made a statement in that game one, and I think Boston's going to be looking to make a statement against the Milwaukee Bucks. Jason Tatum, 37 points in 38 minutes his last game. He's been red hot. And the Bucks play the Bucks play the Celtics better than most teams. We talked about their splits last year, but I don't have any final thoughts on this anymore. But these kind of performances that we saw in these last 2 days, Justin, have got to come to a stop. They've got to. They got to show up with some energy. And if they're not going to, I don't understand why we're not dipping into Andre Jackson Jr., A.J. Johnson. And I understand it's a whole other conversation, but you cannot tell me that those guys are going to be any different or worse than what we're seeing. But they got to pick it up. I mean, I don't want to say time's running out in October, Justin, but there's a lot of pressure on this team. There's a lot of pressure on this Milwaukee Bucks team. There's a lot of pressure on Doc Rivers. And John Horst has done everything, in my opinion, that he needed to do, that he was able to do, to have a team not get blown out against the Chicago Bulls, who are in the middle of a rebuild, not against the Brooklyn Nets, who are in the middle of a rebuild. Whether it's game two and three or 53 and 54, whatever it is, it's inexcusable to me.
Well, in fairness, the Bulls are not in a rebuild. They're treading water. They have yet to start the rebuild, and they weren't blown out.
Yeah. I think they're not as good as they were a year ago, but I mean, they got good players.
It's not the time or place, and we don't have time for the young player discussion, and hopefully we don't have to have it. So tomorrow night, I still think the Bucks are going to beat the Celtics. If I'm wrong, I'm not going to hide from it. You can call in and tell me I'm an idiot. Brandon, you can do the same, but we will regroup tomorrow night for another big one. The Bucks in Boston to take on the Celtics, 6:30 tip. 6 o'clock is when our network pregame coverage begins, and as always, we'll be back afterwards with Bucks Talk. Be sure to tune in then. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.